as a church family as well, that God would recommission us into what he has next for us. And one of my desires and prayers over this time is that this is a time when everybody will really come alive, when we send out the graft, but also re-envision what God has for us here as well. And we're going to be thinking and praying and discussing that over the next few months. And I think when we think of the big challenges that we have ahead of us, the predominant emotion that we can often feel is, yes, I want to come alive, I want to be sent, I want to do all these things, but I do feel very weak in it and don't always feel qualified or capable or able or adequate. The big issue often that we face is one of insignificance, perhaps, or a sense of inadequacy, or, you know, that sort of feeling of I can't dot dot dot, or I'm no good at dot dot dot. I'm not sure I can really be of much help or much use. And I think that for many of us, we often have that sense of perhaps fear or self-doubt, or perhaps it's to do with circumstances or problems that are in our lives that we often feel are disqualify us in some way. And perhaps, and this is something we're touching on at the moment in our course about leadership that we're running called Leading Together, where there can be a crisis of confidence that people, I've certainly known people who've been extremely competent in their workplace and when they come to church just feel completely de-skilled and unable to really offer anything, and there can be this crisis of confidence. And so today I really want to bring a word of encouragement that every one of us can do what God's calling us to do, not in our own strength, but actually in our weakness, that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. I certainly, when I was growing up and certainly looking at church, often looked at Christian leaders, for example, as people who were just always strong, that they didn't seem to have problems, they didn't seem to have issues of life that everyone else did. Well, I can certainly assure you that's not the case. I'm as human as the next person, and I have my frailties and weaknesses just as everybody else does. And actually, sometimes it's good to be honest that we're human. And Jesus in Hebrews 5 is wonderful because it says there that we don't have a great high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet without sin. So Jesus knows our weakness. He understands our frailties. He understands our inadequacy so often. But the message today is not that God chooses us in spite of our weakness. He actually chooses us because of our weakness, so that his power may be made perfect in our weakness. And so many people disqualify themselves or discount themselves because of feeling one weakness or another, or one frailty or one issue that they feel is the big problem. But the message of the scriptures and the Gideon, we're looking at Gideon today, is that God will use us no matter what, and that's a wonderful thing. So let's just look at this Gideon passage, and the Gideon actually spans from chapter 6 through to 9, so we didn't have time for reading three chapters for the whole of Gideon's story today. We read the climactic part of his story, where the victory is won against the Midianites, but the story really begins in chapter 6, where the Lord calls Gideon. And actually, also interestingly, Gideon is mentioned in Hebrews 11, in that great hall of heroes, if you like, of the faith. Gideon is mentioned there as alongside Moses and Abraham and Elijah. There's Gideon in Hebrews 11 as an example to us of someone who by faith saw amazing things happen. Not because Gideon was amazing, but because Gideon's God is amazing. And here we have in the book of Judges, and when we think about a judge, please don't think about a magistrate in Snaresbrook, you know, down there somewhere who's actually sort of sorting out asbos. That's not the kind of judge that we're thinking of here. The judges in the Old Testament were deliverers. They were saviors that God sent to deliver the people of Israel. And they went through, after Joshua had taken them into the promised land, they went through these ups and downs of either being obedient or disobedient to God. Sadly, most of the time, it was disobedient. And when they were in times of disobedience and oppression, The people would cry out, and God would send them a judge, such as Deborah. We read of her being a judge, or Samson. And Samson's very interesting. Samson started strong and ended up weak. And Gideon started weak and ended up strong. But that's for another day. But Samson was another judge who brought deliverance, who brought freedom, leadership to the people of God. And that's what these judges were. They were really leaders before Israel had kings. And the Spirit of the Lord would come upon particular people at particular times to become judges. This is a time in Judges 6 where Israel is in one of its periods of idolatry, where they have forgotten the ways of the Lord and they're turning to idols, turning to Baals. And you can read the whole story there. We find the Midianites are oppressing the Israelites. And it's all part of the Lord's judgment, really, to try and bring them back to himself, to cause them to repent and turn back to God. And as they do so, God sends them this man, Gideon. And we find Gideon here threshing grain in a wine press. In other words, he's hiding from the Midianites. He doesn't want to do it. Normally, you'd thresh on a threshing floor out in the air. A wine press is the last place to do threshing because it's underground. There's not much air down there. But this is all because the Midianites are oppressing the people and they can't. They need to do things like this in secret. And so there's fear. Gideon, all the way through the story here, is gripped by fear. He's a man gripped by a sense of his own inadequacy. And the Lord says in verse 12, chapter 6, the hand of the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Which is not how Gideon's feeling at the time. But that's how God sees him. Gideon's actually gripped by indecision, by doubt, by fear. And in verse 16, the Lord says, I will be with you. So Gideon sees the Lord. I really believe that Gideon is really having an encounter with the pre-incarnate Christ. He's meeting with the Lord Jesus, as other people did in the Old Testament, such as Abraham. And the Lord says in verse 16, I will be with you. I will be with you. That's familiar words. Even Jesus spoke those words to his disciples. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the world. I will be with you. God with us. And God didn't choose Gideon because Gideon had the best skills or anything, to be honest. In fact, Gideon said, I'm the weakest person in the weakest tribe in Israel. He thought he was nothing, a nobody from nowhere. He had nothing going for him, according to Gideon. But as I say, God didn't choose him because of his strengths. God actually chose him because of his weaknesses. Not in spite of his weaknesses, but because of his weaknesses. Gideon was a man who went, there was three stages in his experience. He went from despondency, and then he went from there to dependency, and he went from there to determination. And we see here by the time we've got to Judges 7, that Gideon is beginning to get what God's will is for him, and he's beginning to depend more on the Lord and step out, even though he feels weak, even though he feels inadequate. He steps out and he obeys God. In Matthew 5, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, those who know they're not strong, those who need to rely on God and not on their own human achievements, those who are weak but who are surrendered to God. God knows the proud from afar. God doesn't need us to be strong. He just wants us to be obedient. It's his strength in us that makes the difference. God is not looking for everybody to be super strong in human achievement. And we see this here in Judges 7, then, when we pick up the story, as we've read this morning. And remarkably, so God has chosen this weak person from the weakest tribe, but then God takes it a step even further in his deliverance of Israel from Midian, because Gideon has now stepped out and has called together put a call out to the whole nation to send their fighting men for a battle. And they've got 32,000 people in this army. And here in Judges 7, the Lord takes the message of weakness to a whole new level. Because he says, you have too many men. In verse 2, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength saved me. There's a lesson there. My own strength saved me. If we think we're strong in our own eyes, we're missing it. It's better to see ourselves. That's why it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not those who think they've got all the answers. It's those who know their need. It's those who know they need to depend on God. The Lord said, you have too many men. And he says, he says, will boast against me. My own strength has saved me. So the Lord whittles down drastically this army. And it goes from 32,000 to 10,000. Now you think, my goodness, stop there. It's already looking impossible. Don't go any further than 10,000. You know, this is a suicide mission even for the 10,000, because you can't even count the camels, never mind the men that the Midianites have got. So it looks like a suicide mission. So this whittled down to 10,000, and then we go off to the ridiculous, because God whittles it down again to 300. Impossible odds. How can Israel be saved against countless armies, soldiers, with 300 men? And that's why I'm saying here, these 300 were not chosen because they were elite. It's nothing to do with the actual thing about the lapping like dogs or whatever. That shows nothing to do with their military skills or anything like that. Showing us that it wasn't those 300 who passed some sort of flying colors into some kind of SAS battalion. No. The 300 here is not an elite. It's to show how totally inadequate they are. That's the message. That's the point of the story. They are totally inadequate, unable to defeat the Midianites now, so that nobody can boast, so that everybody will say, my goodness, that had to be God. There couldn't have been any other explanation. God doesn't want our boasting. He wants our obedience. He's looking for humility, dependence. And this is also a message, encouragingly, of grace. Because God is about to show favor to the people of Israel. And this God making his power perfect in our weakness is a sign of his grace, unmerited, abundant favor shown to his people. And it's in grace that there's hope. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. None of us became Christians because we were brilliant, because we were so good that God had to accept us. That's not how we became Christians. We all become Christians because we're sinners saved by grace, God's favor shown to us. We're weak, we're sinful, we're lost, and Jesus comes to find us on the cross and shows his love to us, and it's by grace, unmerited favor, this abundant, transformative grace that reaches down. God is our rescuer. God is our savior. God is our strength. And we sometimes forget that, like it says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And it's all in Christ. That's where everything is found. The strength for us to live for him. So it's not about our boasting or anything like that. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I came to you in weakness. In fact, when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, the older Paul gets, the more he speaks about his weakness, the more he boasts in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 is the famous passage where Paul talks about, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Because Paul doesn't want people to remember Paul. He wants people to look to Christ. He says in verses 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, he says, the Lord said that my grace is sufficient for you. See how God is making this a message about grace. Yes, we feel weak. Yes, we can often feel inadequate. Yes, we can feel our circumstances, our problems. Perhaps it's our health. Perhaps it's family background. Perhaps, I don't know what, employment status, something that was said to us in the past that keeps dragging us down, some issue that we struggle with. There is struggle, there is toil, there is hardship, there is suffering often. And often we can, these things can be used to strike out our sense of God being able to use us, or God being at work in us. We can feel like the weakest of all, you know, many of us here maybe feel like, well, I'm the weakest member of St. Mary's Church. Like Gideon felt, he was the weakest of the weakest tribe of Israel. But that is why grace is so wonderful, because God's grace comes to us. And it's not, as Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the Lord's power may rest upon me. In Ephesians 6, the Lord says, be strong. Now, he doesn't say, be strong, pull it together, pull your socks up, get yourself together, come on, what's the matter with you? That's not what Ephesians 6 says. No, it says, be strong in the Lord. There's a difference. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Our strength comes from God. That's what Isaiah said. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. And so, friends, today, if we feel weak, if we feel inadequate, if we feel that we're somehow struggling, and if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we know we haven't got all the answers or got it all together, we are in good company. As I said earlier, Jesus knows our every weakness. He empathizes with our humanity. He knows that we are weak, and he loves us still. But our weakness is an opportunity for God's grace. And instead of seeing our weaknesses as a problem and trying to run away from them, we want to embrace them and boast about them and say, I'm going to obey God. My weakness isn't going to stop me following the Lord. I'm just going to give it my best shot. I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill me and go for it. I'm going to step out and do the things and be the whatever God has laid on my heart to do. I'm going to do it even though I feel weak. And that is when God's grace gets an opportunity to step in, and when we discover the unmerited, abundant, transformative power, God's power perfected in weakness. It's okay to feel weak. It's okay to depend on God, because God will win the victory. And the Judges 7 goes on to describe how those 300 surrounded the Lord put a dream into the hearts of the Midianite camp, so they were the ones who were actually afraid. And they surrounded them with the 300. They broke their jars with the lights in them. And there's a message there as well for us. You're a light. You're the light of the world, Jesus said to us. You are the light of the world. And when we break the jar and show that light, and we shout to the Lord, like as they shouted in those days, for the Lord, the sword of the Lord, and for Gideon. When we pray, when we worship, when we show that light of Jesus in our world, yes, we may feel weak. We may feel outnumbered. We may feel that we're not going to succeed, or whatever it may be, as all those people did. When the angels and the Lord said to Gideon, look, Gideon, if you're still afraid of this, go down, get somebody to go down and listen, because then you'll be encouraged. You know, God understood that Gideon was afraid through the whole thing. He had fear lurking throughout this whole episode. And yet he didn't let his fears hold him back. He didn't let his weakness disqualify him. He didn't turn it into an excuse and say, well, I'm afraid because I'm the weakest, I'll be at the back, cheering all the other ones on. No. Gideon said, okay, Lord, I am weak, but somehow you must be in this. And so let your strength be displayed in my weakness. He obeyed God. He was sent. The Lord said to Gideon, am I not sending you? In chapter 6, I'm sending you. And God is sending us in a great commission to make disciples of all nations. Do we feel that we're up to the task? Probably not. I don't think any of us do. If anybody does, by the way, you know, please come and see me at the end because I'd love to talk to you. I don't feel up to the task of evangelizing the nations. But we have an amazing God, a God of grace, and he is able to perfect our weakness with his strength so that he will get all the glory. We don't want people thinking about St. Mary's Church or whatever. We want people thinking about Jesus and knowing Jesus and coming to Christ and being thrilled with the gospel. So my prayer is that everybody will come alive through this season that we're in at the moment. People will come alive spiritually, but not in our own strength, but in Christ's, so that he'll get the glory. Amen.